So grateful for the opportunity to share God's word with you. And just as I start, I just want to let you know, I hate languages. Kind of funny to start with this, but I don't know if you're like me, but languages do not come easy. I studied from kindergarten to grad school. I found it so funny that the only time I ever had a C was in French and Greek. And so I find it ironic of how God has led my life of now having been able to preach in English, French, and Japanese. And still have a long way to go with my Japanese, but over these years, there's been this love-hate relationship with the language because it's so difficult and so frustrating of you learn a little bit and then you forget things. And so there's always been this challenge, but knowing this is such an important tool for me to be able to connect and talk and minister to the people in Japan. And so I've desperately wanted to engage in conversations, but as I learned Japanese, I'm amazed of there's so many nuances and words that don't exist in English. And so we realized that all languages have certain limitations. In Hebrew, the word hesed is profound and beautiful, and we translate it as loving kindness or love or compassion, but it's so much deeper than that. Or the Hebrew word shalom, which we might just say peace, it's so much deeper than just peace. And so there's words that can get lost in translation. So this morning I want to share kind of God's dream for the church by exploring three Japanese words. And I'm hoping to weave in stories of how God has been at work at Tokyo Life Church and in our lives along the way. And so I want us to think about who are we becoming as a community. The first word is sundoku. And the two Japanese characters, I mean piling up and reading. And it's such a unique Japanese word that there's no equivalent in English, but basically means you're hoarding all these books that you never actually touch. And so given how most apartments and homes are very small, this happens quite quickly of you buy books and you start stacking things up and you realize, like, I have my bookcase full, but I've actually never read any of these books. And so even now, I normally buy e-books because of lack of space, but even that, I can fill up my Kindle and still never read the books myself. Maybe for you, it's not books. Maybe it's other things. It's so easy that there can be good things, even necessary things, that we accumulate and we add into our lives. And sometimes we had intentions of purchasing these to use, and yet it's surprising that we see how much dust is collected on them as they kind of sit on the sidelines. I don't know if during the pandemic, there's certain things that you bought that now as things become more open, you realize, like, I haven't touched that in 6 months. But this has worked to our advantage as we've come back, is because we only bring two suitcases with us, we don't have everything that we need. And so we're thankful for people that have an extra car that we're able to use, or have an extra golf club that they just sit in their garage that I'm able to use and play. But God has given each of us gifts, talents, possessions, resources to be used for his glory. And so why do I bring up this word? Because I think this image of hoarding these books can be related to how we use what God has given us. How we've been designed, and one of our missions at Tokyo Life Church is helping connect people with God's purposes. Maybe that sounds very familiar here. As our mission statement is very much the same, of connecting people to God's purposes. And so one of these is using our gifts for God and for the community. And our church is now 7 years old, but for the last year and a half, we were online and just starting to meet back in person in November. And as we started to think about we needed to come back here for 6 months, it was kind of fearful of knowing things are just starting to gear up, and yet we're, as the pastors, stepping away. What's going to happen? But part of that fear actually turned excitement of realizing and remembering that from our beginning, we have always wanted to be a church as a team, as a family, that it's not just the pastors doing everything, but we together as the body are serving and loving and living God's mission out. The sad thing is for many Japanese churches, the expectations are very different. the pastor is hired, he's trained, he's the professional, and so it's expected that he does the preaching, the teaching, the prayer meetings, leading all these things, doing the evangelism, and you can kind of be passive and just kind of sit back and take in all this information that he teaches. But it's not meant to be that way. And so this 6 months season is a testing, a stretching the ideas. They're now having to take ownership and taking the lead. And during the pandemic, I'm sure maybe you have experienced this too, of participation is limited of what you're able to do at home versus what you're able to do in a normal service. And so we had a lot of work falling on the hands of just a few of the ones who were doing the videos and the editing and all these kinds of things, and rather than normally we'd have about 30 people serving in different ways. So it's easy to people falling into this kind of passive rhythm with our faith. And we've kind of taken it easy, gotten comfortable, and we've lost those muscles of serving and getting involved and living out our mission. And so I feel like God is wanting us to be engaged in his mission. And so this idea is based on Ephesians 4, where Paul writes about God giving the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip people for works of service. With the goal, it says, so that the body of Christ may be built up and become mature. So the intention was never to have these pioneers, have these leaders do all the ministry for everybody, but with the people. They're not passive recipients, but they're engaged participants, teammates, co-workers. And so we don't become mature just taking notes in a class. It comes from living out our faith, actively involved. And so this is lived out, yeah, in those Japanese churches where it's so much put pressure on the pastor rather than the people. And that's unfortunate because it can sideline people from actually using and feeling like I have anything to offer, I have anything to give. But that's not the way it was meant to be. In the early days of our church, we realized, especially with young kids, of how critical it was that we have a team to be able to do anything. If everything was up to us with having young children, this was not going to work so well. And so it was amazing of having people that would be engaged in all kinds of things. So it'd be setting things up, and then they might sing in the worship team and welcoming people 1 week and leading children's ministry the next week and wearing multiple hats even in a single day. And hopefully, I mean, it's changed since then, but remembering those days that there's so much hope that everybody felt like this is my church and I am going to be engaged. There's a sense of recognizing how valuable their presence was in our community. And so as it's grown, it's easy to assume that, oh, that's for other people. I'm too busy. Or they're more gifted. And so we can get disengaged. But our goal is to become like Christ. Become mature in our faith. And so it doesn't happen through just knowledge acquisition, but God has made you unique. He's gifted you in a certain way. And you've had experiences that he can use or redeem for his glory. To not waste them like these books that are just piled up, left untouched. Not hoarding the gifts that God and the resources that God has given us, but unleashing whatever God has given you to impact your community, your city, and the world for God's glory. And so the first thing is we're designed to connect with God's purposes, to not be sundoku, just accumulating and leaving unused, but it's like that man who received the talent and buried it, leaving it untouched rather than investing it. And so he squandered the gifts that God had given him, missing out on being a blessing. The second word is kizuna. After the 311, so 11 years ago, the tsunami, an earthquake, and the radiation, nuclear power plant explosion, this was chosen as the word of the year in Japan. So every year there'd be a Chinese character that they would choose that kind of sums up what was happening in the world, what was happening in Japan, what was kind of part of the culture that year. And the image is of the thread and middle. And so it's this meaning of being this bond or connection between people. And as you can imagine, through that incredible natural disaster, that bond and that unity was so essential for the recovery of our nation. It's amazing that the church was able to finally work together to bring relief to the Tohoku, the northern area of churches and denominations and groups and mission groups, all working together collectively in one purpose of caring for these people who've lost everything. And so I'm amazing to see this value of harmony lived out. In that time, we had just moved there the year before, and so amazing, the response of people in the midst of everything just upended, that there's nobody complaining of having food rations or having certain blackouts and so lacking electricity. Some of the train stations, the escalators, they would just turn them off, so you just have to use them as stairs, and so it wasn't broken, but it's how can we work together to save electricity so that all of us can get through this together? And it was just amazing of just the ways in which people were bonded with one another. And it's that thread that connects us all. And so together they were able to overcome that tragedy and come together and move forward. And that same impulse has allowed Japan, especially even this past pandemic, to weather things so much better than many other nations. I remember in March 2020 of how things were starting to get bad and just having this gut instinct of like, this is not going to end well in America. I'm just fearful of just knowing the freedoms and wanting to not be told what to do, that this is not going to work well, of being able to cooperate together. And so we love our freedom and individual rights, which are great, but as we saw, it can work against that collective cooperation, that what can I do? How can I sacrifice my rights to care for my neighbor, to care for each other? And so many of people in Japan, they sacrificed, worked hard to get through that, and that's one of the beautiful things that I've loved and appreciated of living there, even during this past pandemic. And the Evangelical Covenant Church, we talk about being in it together. And I love this attitude that we're together. We're not just doing our own thing, but we're together connected for God's mission. And that was the attitude of our church and the attitude of the city. Because God does not design us to be on our own. We're created for relationships with God himself, but also with others. That's the beauty and the power of the church. We're part of God's family, the body of Christ. We're members, we're brothers and sisters, we're co-workers in God's work, we're teammates, and we're designed to connect with God's people. Notice what Paul writes as we continue in Ephesians 4, in verses 15 and 16. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so as parts of this body of Christ, there's these ligaments, they're kind of like threads that link us together, connecting us. As the image in 1 Corinthians 12 uses the image of a body, it's everybody is different parts that make up the body of Christ, whether it's the elbow, the shoulder, whatever it may be, we all have a role to play. And so your presence is also important. Your presence is also needed. Being part of the church, allowing you to be grown and built up, but also your presence builds up others. As we come out of the pandemic, our church and many churches are facing that same challenge of renewing that spiritual rhythms, that habits that have kind of grown stagnant a little bit in these past couple of years. And so we felt like as we moved into hybrid mode too, there's less people able to come and less people able to serve. And so that dynamic was definitely challenging. And people were hesitant to serving with children's ministry because there hadn't been vaccines for kids yet. So there's all these layers of complexity of how do we move forward as a church. And that might be a reality here too. But your community needs your presence. He had just shared the story of Maggie and Yuki, who were, as their college students, joining our church. And it was amazing that even though he wasn't a Christian, he quickly got connected into our community and being a part of the college group. And even though it was only a short time, he felt like this was family. And so as Maggie went back to Hong Kong, God was using this time away of growing her faith. And as she made that decision to be baptized, she wanted to do it at our church because she felt like, this is my family. But it's amazing that God was able to work in her life even during the pandemic. And it was great that her, as we were baptizing her last fall, her small group was able to come around and join her to celebrate together and feel like, this is my family who is walking with me, that I'm not doing this on my own, but I am with my community who knows me and cares about me. And so that's our dream, whether we're 15 people or 150 people, that we're also having this family, this culture of that we are connected, we are a community that cares for one another. And imagine that similar value is here at High Rock. And so despite Tokyo being the largest city in the world, it can be one of the loneliest. Similar with other major cities, we're surrounded by people and apartment complexes on the train, but people can be so just strangers. We're working long hours. We have little time for relationships. Families are spread thin with all the different activities going on that you have little time to actually get together. And so this is a sense of isolation and loneliness is a driving force that wanted us to start this church in the beginning. This is the kind of church that we wanted to create of being this community for people that are so disconnected. As years ago, there was a Japanese teen girl who was telling us about her parents getting divorced. And feeling shame, her mom told her, don't talk about this with your friends, at your school, with your teachers, with anybody. I don't want anybody to know about this. But fortunately, she felt safe and comfortable to tell Miho. And our hearts broke as we realized that the 16-year-old girl, her world was falling apart, but she had to just kind of hold it in by herself, not having anybody to really walk with her during that dark season. There's no safe community to open up of what's happening in your lives, a place that they can receive grace, understanding, and healing. And we've been grateful that God has allowed us to walk alongside people that have shared struggles with suicidal thoughts or depression, that they feel safe in our community or with us to share that. And so that need for community came even stronger in the pandemic, as I'm sure there's heartbreak and grief here as well. Some families lost parents or family members to COVID, or there's a family that had a stillborn baby and their family was in other countries. And so how do you walk through this alone? And that was such a devastating time. And so we're thankful that we have a community to walk together, that we're not left alone, especially in those periods of grief. And we had sense that evangelism often happens by belonging first and then believing. People were desperate for friendships and community, especially in the pandemic, and so new people were visiting for all kinds of reasons. Some, it may be, I just want to meet somebody, I want to practice English, whatever it may be, that might be what brings them there. But they come and find true community. And so relationships form, trust develops, and then we're able to take them steps closer to meeting Christ. And so being a part of a community is so crucial. As most Japanese have never met a Christian before in their life, and so they don't know anything about Jesus or the Bible, but so what they see in the church communicates what God is like. That we are living witnesses, whether for good or bad. And the church is at its best when it fosters true community, a safe place where we can be known, where we can be honest with each other, and where we can find strength and hope to grow. And so if we're to become like Christ, it's desperate that we need each other to be changed. And so God desires us to connect with God's people. And so like keys in that threads and those connections with each other are so critical. And as a pastor, it's so easy to take our Sunday services for granted of seeing people week after week. But when that was taken away, I was surprised by how much joy I felt when we finally had an outdoor service and I was seeing people's face rather than through a screen for the first time after 6 months. And I realized how much that we need each other. The final word is kintsugi, which are two characters that mean gold and then patch or graft. Maybe you're familiar with this image of a pottery that's famous in Japan, but it's so unique, and I'm not sure how it originally started. Maybe we felt like it was just a wasted, broken thing that rather than throwing it away, maybe we can salvage it into something else. But some inventive potter was able to mend it with a special lacquer to restore it and bring it back to life. And so by mixing gold into the lacquer, it repaired this broken or useless pot or plate, but actually it transformed it into a work of art. In some ways, those cracks might have been embarrassing reminders of what had been broken, and yet now that's the focal point of the beauty. In the hands of that master artisan, that wasted or ruined thing had been restored into something better than it was in the original. This is the story of our lives in the hands of God. Before Christ, no matter how much success, accomplishments we've had, we're broken and disconnected from God. We are in need of hope, of being restored. And so God designed us to connect with him personally. And that's what drove us to start Tokyo Life Church. That there's millions of people around us who don't know anything about God's love and the possibility to be restored, to find life and hope. So one of the amazing realities in God's kingdom is he uses ordinary and broken people like us to work. And so Paul uses this odd metaphor to describe us. He calls us jars of clay that display the power that is from God and not ourselves. And I love this pottery image because we're vessels. We're used by God. And though that pottery might be fragile, might be weak, in the right hands it can bring water to the thirsty, food to the hungry, and in essence, jars can bring life to those who are desperate and have needs. It might be not be the most ornate, fancy, or beautiful, but it's useful in God's hands. In an earlier letter to the Corinthian church, Paul reminds us that he uses the foolish to shame the wise, that even if we're not from noble birth or in the most elite class, God continues to use ordinary people who are available to do incredible things through their lives. Like that gold-lined pottery, God can take normal vessels and transform them into something special. And I would never have imagined that God would take me from Iowa to use me in one of the most influential cities in the world to be in Tokyo. And even as a young boy, I had this speech impediment, and I was so nervous of talking with people, especially making presentations in front of people. And yet God was able to take that and now allowing me to preach and to even teach students how to preach at Tokyo Christian University recently. So realizing that God can even use me with my simple background, that God can use anybody for his good. But it's so easy to see what we lack of our failures, and we might write ourselves off. But yet God can use each and every one of us. And as we connect with God, unimaginable things can happen. He can change us. He can patch those broken parts with gold, redeeming us to something better than we were before. And use us to bring healing and transformation to those around us. And so a year ago, as we heard more and more stories of homelessness in our part of Tokyo, Ikebukuro, we felt like God was calling us to respond in some way. And so we began serving meals, bringing supplies to them. As I lined up of getting to know them, of just hearing their stories and sharing our own stories of what God has done in our lives. And it's amazing of how God has opened doors of using our pain of stories of depression to connect with them and bring them hope from the hope that we found in Christ. And we find that time and time again, God uses our pain in our lives to help connect with others. Author Henry Nouwen wrote a book called The Wounded Healer, and I love that imagery of a wounded healer because it shows that we're broken and yet we're restored by God, that he can use us still to bring healing to others, despite or maybe because of our particular brokenness and pain. And so God's desire is for us to connect with him personally. So it's connecting with God, and this is when our broken parts can be restored to wholeness into something beautiful. God's dream for our church is to be a community that connects with him personally, connects with God's people, and connects with God's purposes. And that's my hope for our church, and that's my hope for your church as well, as we actively engage with God's purposes in our world. As you connect as a community, And as you draw others to discover the life and hope that can be found in Jesus. And so, Sundoku, Kizuna, and Kintsugi. Hopefully these are words that can remind us of what God wants for our church. Connecting with his purposes, with his people, and with him personally. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the ways in which you invite us into a relationship with you. God, despite our past, our weaknesses, our struggles, that God, you want and can use us for your glory. God, that we are thankful too that you do not leave us alone, that you want us to be in relationship with you and with one another. And so God, I pray for Hyrak at this time that God, you would continue to help them grow into the community that you designed them to be, caring for one another, listening to one another, encouraging one another, that together they can walk closer and stronger with you. And God, may use them to live out your purposes, to bring life and hope to Quincy, to the surrounding area, and for your glory around the world. God, we thank you for so much. We pray these things in your name.